Welcome to Changemaker Chat, a special edition podcast honoring Nazareth University's centennial celebration, featuring engaging conversations with notable individuals who've changed and continue to change their industry, their community, and the world for the better, inspired by their personal connection to Nazareth. In the year prior to and after the 100th anniversary of its founding in 1924, Nazareth University is marking a century of uniting education and action, and envisioning its next 100 years. The centennial celebration is presented by Wellington Steel and Associates and the Leva family. And now, here's the host of the Changemaker Chat, Dr. Beth Paul, President of Nazareth University.
Hello, and welcome to Changemaker Chat, a special podcast produced in honor of Nazareth University's centennial. I am Dr. Beth Paul, President of Nazareth University, and I welcome everyone listening today. It is truly a joy to continue this centennial-inspired podcast series today as we chat with Jeff Van Gundy, a member of Nazareth's class of 1985 and truly a fascinating changemaker. Jeff is a former Nazareth basketball standout and a member of the Nazareth Sports Hall of Fame. He played a central role in the 1984 Nazareth basketball team's run to a 22-6 record and an NCAA East Regional title, an achievement recently recognized as one of the Centennial Celebration's top 100 greatest moments in Nazareth athletics history. And we just celebrated the 40th anniversary, and it was so special to spend time with the team. Nazareth was a springboard to even greater success for Jeff as a coach. In 1996, after many years as an assistant, Jeff was named head coach of the NBA New York Knicks. His coaching style stressed discipline, teamwork, and hard work, leading to success on the court as the Knicks made the NBA Finals in 1999. Jeff later served as head coach of the Houston Rockets from 2003 until 2007. He then joined the broadcasting ranks. From 2007 until 2024, Jeff served as ESPN's lead color commentator, calling an amazing 17 straight NBA Finals. And I think he wore a Nazareth hat to each one. Jeff often made shout-outs to Nazareth during his broadcasts, and we sincerely thank him for that support. Jeff recently entered a new phase of his career, serving as senior consultant in the Boston Celtics basketball operations group. In fact, I recently saw a photo of him in the Boston Globe, sitting courtside, wearing, yes, a Nazareth University hat. And again, we thank him for showing Nazareth the love. Jeff's been a huge supporter of Nazareth in so many ways. In 2012, he made a very generous gift to help upgrade Nazareth's locker rooms and for special murals that honor his former Nazareth coaches. His support also led to the women's locker room being named in honor of Jeff's Nazareth roommate, Farrell Lynch, who very sadly perished in the World Trade Center attack on September 11th. Each year, Nazareth presents a student athlete with the Jeff Van Gundy Award. Such an important honor for our students. It honors someone who shares the same characteristics of work ethic and passion for team and school in season and out of season that Jeff did when he attended Nazareth. It is such a pleasure to welcome Jeff Van Gundy to Changemaker Chat. Welcome, Jeff.
Oh, it's great to be here. Like you said, I loved my time at then Nazareth College, and my daughters continue to say I cannot say Nazareth University when it with my name involved, because I'm only a graduate of Nazareth College. Now, moving on up to Nazareth University, I've got to get my diploma updated.
Well, we'll be happy to take care of that for you. I do want to say we've been Nazareth College for some 99 years, so we will always be Nazareth College. You have to know that is a cherished name, and we will now grow into a second century as Nazareth University.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's really, and you know this, having been there 4 years, it takes you in. The people there make it so that you feel welcome immediately, whether it's a college or university. Those are more academic things, but the true core values of what makes Nazareth an academic or an athletic home for someone remains the same. And I couldn't be more pleased to have gone there. You know, I bounced around. It was my fourth school. And so to finally find a place where I felt, you know, truly comfortable, and all these years later, and when you said 40 years, it slaps you right across the face and how old I am. But I never feel like, it's been that long, because when you feel so deeply about a place, it's usually about people, and the people that I've stayed in touch with, they're both teammates, coaches, and now like Kevin Broderick, who's the coach there now, it just feels good.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I have certainly experienced the same. It is a quality that's hard to put your finger on or to put to words, but you know you are in a special place when you are at Nazareth. There is no question about it. And it is enduring. That's the other thing that to me is so powerful about it, is that this is not something that's manufactured. This is not something that, is made up. This is something that is in the bones of this place, in the soul, I like to say, of what Nazareth is all about. And that's how real it is. It is enduring for this 100 years. And I have absolutely no doubt that it will continue to endure. And part of it is the long-term relationships people have with this university, as you are describing. So it's really, you exemplify that. And it's been pretty special to be an observer to that. And I'm really grateful to have the time to learn from you today. You know, you are a fascinating change maker. We talk about changemaker education here. Our sisters founded Nazareth College to be a place that educated people to go out into the world and to create progress. I like to say that change is inevitable, but progress is a choice. And our graduates choose to work for progress, and not just progress for personal gain, but progress that matters. Progress that matters for the greater good in our world. And I absolutely see that in you, in terms of how you have led your career, how you have led your life's work. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about the changes you've experienced in your career and your pursuit of progress through your career. How have you done that?
Well, I think particularly as time evolves, so many people are going to not stay in one place like maybe my parents did or their parents did. And you're going to have to embrace that the only constant in life is change. And so for me, I haven't had too many changes, but just recently with ESPN letting me go, it set me back initially because I didn't see it coming. And I think what is so important when you get knocked back a little bit is not staying down too long and having a support group around you that can help you, find your way back to purpose. And I think, when you look at coaching or basketball, like if it's only that, there's not much to it. It's pure entertainment, but it doesn't do much by in and of itself. But when you talk about team, and you talk about long, impactful relationships.
Yes.
And how you can help shape values in critical times of people's lives, then basketball is the vehicle to a much more lasting and deep purpose. And so I think purpose is the thing that you have to try to find, where you see yourself. And I saw myself in basketball. I didn't see myself necessarily coming out of NAS in professional basketball. I was a high school coach at McQuaid Jesuit for a year. I loved every minute about that. And it shaped me in ways that I got to say, the biggest thing that it did was humble me. But I thought I'm a coach's son. Coach's sons are the absolute worst. Because they think they know everything. They know every answer before they even know what the questions are. And so when I was at McQuaid, we won our first game and then we lost seven straight.
Wow.
And the humility
gained
through failure, I think has been, I didn't love going through it, but it was the absolute very best for me. The humility that you gain through failure, and then what you learn coming out the other side, I believe you become much more locked in on what you truly believe after failure.
And
also like what you believe can sustain you through the course of your professional life. So I think whatever changes I've been able to make, it were rooted in bouncing college to college and finding my home at Nazareth. And then my first year coaching at McQuay Jesuit, which was not highly productive or successful on the court, but I think I had 11 guys on that team. I was thinking this today. I had 11 guys on that team, 40 years ago. And I'm still in contact with four or five of them.
Wow.
That means everything.
That is so special. You know, what I appreciate about what you've shared is that in life, change is inevitable. And sometimes it is you that is making the change. And sometimes it is change being made that impacts you. And it can be very difficult. It can be a very uncomfortable situation to have a rug pulled out from underneath you. And what I love about what you're saying is that, you know, what Nazareth teaches is to define that inner purpose as you describe. The phrase I use for myself is, am I using myself well to do good in the world? And that's really what you're describing as purpose. And I think those kinds of experiences really do help you to hone what that purpose is, you know, what that difference is that you're committing to making and how special it is. And you're articulating that. Our students are in this time in their lives now, you know, as students here, they're headed out into that life's work. They're headed out into that roller coaster. So what advice do you give them about that roller coaster that they're going to meet? How do they sustain themselves during those dips and realize that then the highs can be even higher?
Yeah, I think once you establish for yourself what your core values are, what you believe in, and things that you will compromise and things you won't compromise, I think it becomes much clearer what direction your life will take, whether it's family life, whether it's your professional career. And I think what's so critical is to be able to hold on to, you know, values from years gone by, and at the same time, be ready to evolve, adapt, and change. And I think sometimes people of my generation have been too slow on the evolvement. And I can say I've been critical of myself. One thing in professional sports that has changed immensely from when I first came into the NBA until today is staff size. When I was an assistant with the Knicks way back, two other guys, we did the work, you know, and now the staff is up to 11 or 12 coaches.
Mm-hmm.
The use of advanced statistics and analytics, I think, is so different, but can be helpful if used correctly. And I think while you can retain the idea of in whatever career you're in, I always say what the game has changed, but what wins and loses has never changed and will never change.
That's great.
In every profession, that's true. And as long as you're willing to be open and adapt. And I have two daughters, 28 and 19, almost turning 20, that the old fashioned hard work still like means something, as does persistence. It's the persistence one. You know, I just spoke briefly about getting let go by ESPN. How long do you stay down? And, you know, I heard somebody say just yesterday and focus on getting better versus staying bitter. Or, you know, I just think all those things are things that make, you know, they're such important decisions that only you can make as the individual, because you will get knocked down and there's going to be a lot of change, and you have to be, you know, always and ever adapting, evolving, and open to change. But it's those, I think what makes me like I feel good is I'm grounded in the things that my mom and dad taught me.
Right.
I'm trying to impart to my children. So that's pretty long-winded.
No, I love that. Yeah.
That's how I really truly feel.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're getting older as I am, and I think it's just natural, family becomes, you know, everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
And the individual accolades that, you know, are given out, and maybe some of, you know, we all like love to be, you know, chosen, or, you know, the light shines on you for that moment. Actually, I think the key to life, Beth, and a guy I coached named Yao Ming in Houston,
mm-hmm.
he taught me this, because he had great pride in his individual work. But because of his family background and all that, he really like embodied that he could be as happy for others' success as he was for his own. And I truly believe if you can get yourself to that point,
mm-hmm.
or the earlier you get yourself to that point,
mm-hmm.
the happier you become. Because mm-hmm. then you're not thinking, I should have got that promotion. I should have gotten that raise. It's more than, man, I'm happy for person or that person. And then it'll come back to you tenfold.
I agree with you 100%. And in many ways, I think that that is what, I'm glad you're expressing that, because I feel that here. I feel that ethos here at Nazareth University, you know, this bigger or Nazareth College, as it has been for 99 years. You know, this commitment beyond oneself, this commitment to collective good, to collective progress, there isn't as much of a selfishness here as I'm afraid there is in much of our society these days. It's one of the things that really makes Nazareth stand out. And, you know, one of the things I hear from you, I really appreciate your candor and your honesty in sharing, for example, the very difficult experience that you had with ESPN's decision. And it's people around that you, including your NAS alums, you know, your peers from NAS, that really helped to reground you in what that purpose is. Can you speak to the power of those continuing relationships? And what would you be saying to students now? What do you say to our team about the fact that they're making friendships for life?
Well, I think that the hardest thing as you get older is to maintain the relationships that have driven you. Technology plays a part in that.
Right.
You can go down the rabbit hole and text versus call. Call versus see. And I think when you get older, you can become isolated. And I think for the young people, my youngest daughter has an awful habit. Like, she is tethered to that phone. And oftentimes, you know, she can be like, we could be talking to her and she is, you know, she gets that buzz or whatever and immediately has to, you know, like see who it is. And I think because of some progress technology wise, it actually can get in the way of some relationships.
Right.
For me, getting older, the thing that gets in the way is not the phone as much, but it is time, it's distance, it's all those things. But you have to make what sustains you. I don't know about you, but there is no better feeling for me than an unplanned run-in with somebody that you have shared time with at some point.
Absolutely.
It is.
Yes.
It's much better than a planned meeting. It's like the joy, a 10-minute like catch up with somebody you haven't seen in a while.
Right.
And it makes me like fight that as you get older, it's so easy to isolate yourself versus make sure that you keep in touch, because that's work too, but it's so worth it. I mean, that's me, what I would say to the graduates: don't allow, you know, time to become your enemy or technology to be the enemy of your relationships. Just make right. sure you keep investing in people and improving your own communicative skills, because I think I don't care how advanced our world becomes, people matter, how you speak to them, the ability to clearly and concisely communicate is always going to be important. And so I agree with you also about, I want to go back one thing you said, like Nazareth, like the thing I love about it is, you know, we talked about involvement from college to university. It evolved from single sex education to co-ed.
Right.
It's evolved in so many ways. And one of the ways is like the occupational therapy, the physical.
Right.
And I saw firsthand through my youngest, who had to go through occupational therapy and speech therapy for 9 years.
Wow.
That how valuable those people are. And mm-hmm. To this day, the women that worked with my daughter, I have such respect for, such gratitude to. And to me, how you're involving those type of programs, those are service programs, even mm-hmm. though you can make a heck of a living and all that, but they're giving. And I think
absolutely,
I see with Nazareth, it's evolved in so many ways, but the core principles, core values that drive it and make it what it is have stayed very similar.
Oh, I agree with you. They are enduring from our very founding, and that is absolutely the case, including just an enduring commitment to humanity, you know, to that kind of interpersonal connection. One of the things I've reflected on is the, in many ways, athletics is becoming more and more unusual as an experience for students to develop those interpersonal skills, the communication skills, the collaboration skills. In many ways, our young people are starving for those kinds of experiences. And unfortunately, we're living in a time, and it is a lot of, you know, a lot of it is mediated by technology. We're living in a time when they're just not able to get those kinds of experiences as much. So in many ways, athletics has become even more important for our youth in terms of building those skills. And I say that to our athletes, our student athletes as well. You know, when you're going out into the workplace, remember the unusual experience you've had as a student athlete. You are gaining personal skills that will be with you for the rest of your lives. It will impact every aspect of your life, including your relationships with others, and how important that is.
You don't even know what they are either. Like when you're an athlete, you're not thinking, oh, I'm right. learning these skills. It just happens because, you know, you might be dealing with the adversity of not playing as much as you want it, or a tough loss, or a great win, you know, an untimed injury. Like, you know, there's just so many things. You don't even know what you're learning. And I think that's the beauty about Division III sports. And you're maybe not getting the scholarship, but you're getting these experiences that you can't pay for. Like
right.
you truly can't pay enough to learn what you learn when you play. And I think it's there's difference. There's high level Division III sports where the school is committed. There's great coaching. The other yep. teams are committed. The teammates are committed to a purpose. And then, you know, there's some schools that don't do what Nazareth does. And
right.
that's so much like you're saying, it's not the same. And that's why, of course, you want to pick schools somewhat on academics. But if I was talking to a student athlete right now who's deciding, I would always say, you pick like who you want to be coached by.
That's right.
Who you feel comfortable team-wise, because so much of your time is going to go there, and it's
right.
really going to drive how happy you are at a place, or conversely, unhappy.
Right. Yeah. And we are so fortunate to have Kevin and the whole coaching team. Oh, and
unbelievable. And Pete Botner has done such a tremendous job.
Absolutely.
With the athletic program, because he cares deeply about
yes
the student athletes and their experience.
Yes.
Also cares about the coaches and their experience. And when you
absolutely.
Have someone who's committed to both a positive coaching experience and playing experience, you get the not only high achieving from a on the field success, on the court success, but it's also you have so many happy athletes who go on and profess, like I feel like this is like such a huge benefit to you, not only while you're there, the happiness, but the pride and joy you feel in a school. So anyway, that part, I think you guys have hit the sweet spot athletically between, you know, highly competitive and driven to win and succeed, and yet show care and compassion for both athletes and coaches.
I agree. And it creates some of the most amazing people who go out and be, you know, who are change makers in so many different ways in our society. It's truly inspiring. So as you reflect on your career, what stands out to you as maybe some of the most formative experiences?
Well, I spoke to you about earlier about like my first year in coaching.
Right.
My most formidable experience before I got to the MBA was at Nazareth. I was on work study. One of the sisters that you mentioned that I worked for Sister Annunciata in this office. And I forget what the office was doing. And she was the strictest, hardest, toughest woman I ever came across. I was determined to win her over because her standards were higher for me than my standards were for me at that point.
That is a very important observation.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that for about, the first, 3 or 4 weeks, I was like, this lady is one of the meanest ladies I've ever been around in my life. But as I worked, I think 2 years for her, my 2 years there I worked, and it was like, I came to see that she only wanted the best for me by trying to get the best out of me,
even That's right.
this little work study program. And I'll always be indebted to her for that, because that then when I got into coaching, I thought two things were really important. One, that every player knew that I wanted them to succeed individually. And two, the basic job of coaching is to get players to do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they want to achieve. And that could be anything from getting in great physical condition to passing the ball, if you're talking about basketball. No one thinks about like, hey, I really want to play great defense. But if you're going to win, you better play great defense. And all those things. And so she really got me thinking about standards but also showing compassion that I want you to succeed, but I'm not going to lower my standards. And at the same time, pushing them to be all that they can be. So for me, I'm indebted to her, even though I'm not sure she always knew that I felt that way as I went on in my coaching career, because she was in, she stayed in the house for a long time. And anyway, I'm just always indebted to her. I love that. I love that lady.
You know, Jeff, that is, you're putting your finger on something that I think is so very important. And it is that combination. And you said it before, in terms of our athletic teams, it's that combination of being very competitive and human, and being supportive of one another and helping everyone to be really their best. I find that through and through at Nazareth. And, this notion of changemaker, that's the language we use now. Of course, our founders, the Sisters of St. Joseph 100 years ago didn't use that language. But to me, it is about having a high expectation. It is about saying in each and every one of our students, we see this potential. You do have the potential to lead important progress in the world. And we are not going to hesitate to push you. We are not going to hesitate to, give you tall challenges and to have high expectations of you, because you're worthy of it. It makes such a strong statement to each and every student. And I do think that that is what this education does So I love that you're raising that. I think that's very powerful.
Yeah, I you know, again, sometimes when you're like I was 40 years ago and you're self-absorbed and you're getting up at 8 o'clock to go fulfill a work study project, the last thing you want is a sister to like be prodding and pushing and setting a standard that, quite frankly, you just sort of want to like get through and allow you to get through it. And so she, to me, I didn't know this until about a half year in working for her, is like you said, she saw that I had more she didn't apologize for pushing me. But once you, once I understood, she cared deeply about me and what I like, what I wanted for my life. It's just like, you're just like, it's just a different relationship.
It is.
And that's what, like you mentioned with athletics, and I don't know every coach there, but the ones I do know, I think like there's true care.
Yes.
It's not 4 years and then, you know, go ahead and live your life. It's like, no, you belong to us and we're together, no matter our lives will take different and distinct paths, but you always have a home base. And when you feel like you have a home base, it's a special warm feeling that you get, that you always know you have these relationships that you can fall back into and celebrate successes or to help pick you up when you get knocked down.
That's right. I see it. I see it day in and day out. And it is one of the most moving things about this community. I agree with you. And you've been such an exemplar of that. You know, it really has been very, very moving to watch you and to observe publicly, you know, your support of NAS, whether it's through a hat or a comment at a game. But the other thing I know that you do is that you often speak to our players, our team, before a big game, and you often, you know, add to their coaching or, you know, give them some inspiring words. And I know that that means the world to them. You are part of their family here. You know, you're part of that Nazareth family for them. And what a special experience for them. So I'm really very grateful to you for doing that. You know, as you look forward, we are at this very exciting turning point at Nazareth, moving into our next century. So as you look forward, what are your hopes for Nazareth, looking into that next century?
Well, for me, it would be continue to do and search ways that you can fill voids in the community, which to me, the Special Olympics.
Yes.
It's just, I came back from that. The facility is just incredible.
Yes.
But I always think about, like, in the NBA, everybody has these opulent facilities. And the only thing that matters after the facility is built is which people do you choose to put in the facility that's so beautiful and new. And for you guys to partner with Special Olympics, like to serve those that may never be able to help you is true compassion. And I think, and it goes back to playing on a team, like, or helping, like I was mentioning about my daughter, like with occupational speech therapy. Sometimes, like, when you're the giver, you get
more
of it than what you give to. And I think, I hope Nazareth keeps with that spirit of giving, searching ways to help others, and then also be open and adaptive to, like, new opportunities, because it's a hard fight in the education community.
Yes, it is.
For students, and you know, in tuition and enrollment and all those things, trying to make, you know, keep education affordable while also giving a world-class education, while other opportunities. I mean, it's a massive undertaking. And I just feel like when everybody talks about it's going to be hard for liberal arts schools and all that, and maybe for a lot of them, but I have this feeling in me that says Nazareth, while it'll have its challenges, there are parents out there like myself and others who would be just dying for this place where you know your child is going to be given every opportunity to discover who they are, how they can help, who they want to be, and it's done in this cocoon of a warm, loving environment. That, to me, knowing how I feel about my children and my parents felt about their children, that'll never change. And that's why I have great hope that Nazareth will continue to blossom and grow, because I know what it offers isn't what every university or—
That's right.
And so, you know, that's what I hope. It never, ever, ever, no matter who leads it, who coaches the basketball team, that every decision that is made continues to find NAS people, because NAS people are these people that care deeply. And I think if we continue to find the right people, our university has great opportunities in front of it to defy what many won't be able to defy.
And I am in 100%. I agree with you. Absolutely. I agree with you. I see that opportunity here. I have every belief that this next century will be just as meaningful, if not more. You know, you mentioned filling voids in our society. That is what the founding vision was for Nazareth, and a very proactive effort to find and address those voids, and to always do it with humanity, to always do it with a sense of the deep and enduring values of this institution, and with a belief in what these young people will bring into our world. That's what gives me so much hope right now, is to know that this is that pathway that the sisters founded. It still is, and it still will be, and we surely do need it.
Absolutely.
Well, Jeff, I am so grateful for your time and insights today. It really has been a joy and an honor to talk with you, and I am very much looking forward to our continued work together on continuing to move Nazareth into this future and to be an important factor of our future. We really need it, and we're on it. So I really do appreciate that. I hope that I will see you NAS weekend, September 20th to the 22nd. We promise to have a big party for our centennial, and that will be a wonderful celebration. But you are always welcome here. As you know, you are part of the Nazareth family, as are all of our alumni, all of our students, and it is a very cherished part of what we are. And I thank everyone for listening to this podcast, for your interest in Nazareth University, our centennial, and the change makers that this amazing institution educates and launches every year. There is such abundant reason for hope. I'll look forward to our next Changemaker chat. And until then, I hope you have a wonderful day, and thank you for listening.